This conference is being recorded.
Okay, got it turned on. So we're going back to 2.5. Okay, my notes on 2.5 involve, it's kind of a couple different subjects that I think can be spread out maybe in different places. We've got 2.4, which is money and markets, but realistically when you look at what's in it, it's more money than market and could use a little more market content. We've got some things in 2.5 that could provide some market content back in 2.4. For instance,
Government subsidies.
I've got to decipher my notes here. This is ugly. Okay.
Actually, the first sentence.
Yeah. First sentence and the subsidies. Yeah, which is 4. I had it written down as 4, but that's not right. It's 3. The we oppose government subsidies to business, labor, and other special interests could fit in 2.4 because it's interfering with free market. So I thought those could potentially move there, and so we don't have quite so much mixed language in 2.5. And I thought the sentences at the end, nuclear power, transportation, and other industries should be governed by free markets held to strict liability. That's more of a market thing also, but I'm not sure if we need that at all because it seems like it's itemizing, which is one thing we're trying to avoid. But it is pretty broad itemization, so, you know, you guys can see what you think about that. But and also same thing for we seek the elimination of occupational licensure. It's not terribly specific, but anyway, those two sentences I thought I could have or not. If we made those shifts, it would leave 2.5 pretty small, but I found in the 1972 platform had some pretty good language that would fit pretty well in 2.5 in a plank titled Unions and Collective Bargaining, and it was fairly well phrased, I thought, there in the 1972 platform. Let me get it here. And it fits the subject a little better and may even say some of the things that are in the other sentences a little better. We support the right of free men to voluntarily associate in or to establish labor unions. We support the concept that an employer may recognize a union as the collective bargaining agent of some or all of its employees. We oppose governmental interference in bargaining. And that seems to pretty well cover the union section of, you know, the labor section of this plank. And so if we needed more material, if we moved some of those things to 2.4, I thought we could pull from 1972 and do that.
Well, I like that idea.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it says free men.
Oh, yeah, it should be free people.
Remix.
Yeah, that can. That's like a style change that I think we could fix that without claiming that we're not writing new stuff.
And being the girl on the list, I don't care because men is a commonly used term to refer to both genders, all peoples. You know, that doesn't bother me. I know there are some people it would, but.
Yeah, I think if we to bring that in, we'd probably want to fix that anyway, even in the recycled thing. I think just so that no one could hold that against us.
Yeah, might as well fix it if we can. So remove the problem.
So now is this? I'm trying to compare the two discussions of unions and seeing are we adding coverage for some principles that weren't covered before, or are we just sort of explaining them more clearly, or what is the goal? Collective bargaining.
Let's see. Maybe we should take it a piece at a time. I mean, the goal was, when I read 2.5, I thought it was mixed topics. Monopolies,
no,
actually.
I don't have any objection to the first parts of what you're saying of sort of expanding the scope of 2.4.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe 2.4 should be the more general. I was kind of initially thinking of 2.4 as being kind of specific to, you know, to money, you know, currency, and then to particular markets like financial markets, and that 2.5 would be a little broader. But actually, 2.5, if you think about markets generically, then the topics of 2.5 are themselves actually kind of more narrow, which is, these artificial corporations and the concept of monopolies or utilities, and then the particular topic of labor markets. So
okay, so that's why the nuclear power, et cetera, sentence was in there as a monopoly, because those are things that are typically
government-granted
monopolies. Okay.
So 2.5 digested at least one plank in the old platform that talked about utilities basically utilities, what people commonly call utilities. So, so going back to what you were saying initially, yeah, the first sentence probably makes more sense in 2.4 than 2.5. And then the fourth sentence about subsidies?
Let's see. First sentence, the 2.4.
See, I would say that's the subsidies.
The sentence about subsidies. Go ahead.
I think the subsidy sentence fits better with 2.5 than it does with 2.4.
Yeah, I like tying it to the corporations, because we want to make it very clear that we're, you know, not necessarily a friend of corporations.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that my thinking is, when they do that, it interferes with free market, and so that's what makes me think, you know, 2.4 instead. But, you know, we can see how everybody feels about it.
Maybe the way to, like I said, I was thinking of 2.4 as sort of money and financial markets. So maybe a title change there could clarify that. But you know, we could always keep these things open and fluid and decide, you know, what are the natural boundaries.
Okay.
Yeah, if the vote were to move the government subsidies, I'd probably be inclined to move it to 2.4 as well. But I don't have strong feelings about it, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence myself. I'm trying to make up my mind.
I'm taking a quick peek at the remix to see if the size of these changed. No, there's not much difference in the remix. Right, so,
yeah, I think I'd move the nuclear power statement too, because I mean the whole point is governed by free markets. I think I'd probably want to move sentence one, the subsidies sentence, and then nuclear power .. free market sentence. I'd probably move those three to 2.4.
Then what do we see as like the fundamental distinction between these two planks? What's their center of gravity? So the first one, 2.4, clearly is going to have anything to do with, you know, money or financial markets. The second one is probably going to end up having anything to do with these specialized markets relating to either, you know, antitrust or maybe utilities or maybe not utilities, but I guess labor. I mean, in a sense, given that we're the Libertarian Party, we think all of these things should be handled by markets: environment, education, healthcare, retirement. So, and we, so, but we wouldn't try to lump them all into 2-4, I presume.
Yeah, I see 2-5 as being a lot, pretty focused.
Some ways 2-5 is starting to feel the direction we're going in. It's starting to feel like a right to work plank, which I'm somewhat hinky on. I guess I ultimately take the right to work position, but I almost feel like it's, you know, since labor union membership has been falling so much, I wonder if it's even whether 2-5 is something that you get rid of.
I'm all for deleting blanks.
You know, when the in 1972, you know, labor issues were much more a front and center issue.
I tell you, if you guys want to scare yourselves, go onto YouTube and look at the Democratic presidential debate where all the candidates got in front of a football stadium full of union members up in Chicago, and oh my God. I'm shaking in my boots. They're competing to as to who will, you know, build the most infrastructure and create millions of jobs, and scary.
Yeah, it does. They still have an influence on these, no question.
I mean, if I were looking to toss something, the occupational licensure one is, I think, probably something more that is more likely to scare off the average, you know, person who encounters our policy pitch than anything we would probably say about unions. I think you have to have a good chunk of belief in the how markets work to go cold turkey on licensure. I think we should do it, but whereas I think the what we say about labor unions is if we say the right things, it's a good way to have a left-right balance because...
Right,
right.
Anyone can say that they're a surgeon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of scary, quite honestly.
Yeah.
I'm with you there.
I'd just soon delete that we seek the elimination of the licensure, even though I, as a professional engineer, don't like licenses.
Mm-hmm.
But... it just gives them an excuse to tax me.
Okay, so have we clarified like a rule of thumb for how to sort things in these two baskets? Did you have a particular idea in mind, Alicia?
Well, since you now clarified that maybe inserting the word financial into 2-4's title, money in financial markets, that kind of makes that look like a less appropriate place to move the generic free market separation business and state language. And really, our language about free market in the economy is the intro section,
right,
for economic liberty. So there are several ways we could go with this. If we want to leave the union language in, there's good language I think we can pull from 72 that says that pretty well. And then the question becomes what to do with the rest of it. I mean, we could, if it's short sentences like we advocate a strict separation of business and state, well, I mean, we could put that in the intro, but the intro to this section is kind of long already.
Mm-hmm.
We could specifically put in a free market plank that says free markets, government shouldn't subsidize, thus interfering in competition. And we could put monopolies in there with it, so we have a plank that was more about government interference with free market and government forced monopolies. I mean, I think we could merge those with an appropriate title. So, I don't know. There's there's several directions, and looking at 2-4 as a financial markets instead of a free markets kind of throws off what I was originally thinking.
Well, I generally was opting for broad planks that would sweep a lot of ground with, you know, just relatively few words. Do we really want to go financial markets or just generally markets?
That's a good question. The basic idea I was hoping for was that this set of planks would, that we start off general. I mean, the introduction is, of course, very general, and the first one about property and contract sort of sets out our sweeping vision of you know, the fundamentals of economic rights, and then we hit any kind of specialized markets or special problems or market failures, if you will, with the detail planks. So, like, you know, environment is a category that I think needs special attention because of our you know, traditional position of just pure torts is you know, arguably problematic. Government finance, of course, is a special case all its own. And then you know, Wall Street type issues, gold is always an interesting topic for libertarians and is called out, you know, like in the Constitution with currency laws and stuff, and then utilities and antitrust and the whole idea of incorporation in artificial persons. That's another specialized area, and then the rest of them are just sort of industries that the rest of the political world thinks are special, but that we think aren't all that special. So how we chop up all this stuff into separate planks is, you know, there's definitely some different ways to do it, and this is just one way.
So suppose we change the title of 2.5 to business and labor. Would that make it a little broader and more clear what we're talking about?
One of the big things is, like, you know, big corporations and big government. Like, once me and a Green Party Texas co-chair got to talking about his party versus mine, and we realized when I talk about big bad government, he talks about big bad business, we're talking about the same people.
Yep.
I sort of hate to category. I hate to lose that corporation aspect, and I mean, when you talk about business and labor, it's almost as though something that we really need to talk to, that is, you know, how corporations can damage liberty. It's like we lose focus on that.
Yeah, one thing I like about keeping the word monopolies in there is that it evokes both the topic of antitrust to the extent that we want to talk about it, and also the topic of utilities, you know, both natural monopolies and artificial monopolies. And now, some libertarians don't believe in worrying about artificial monopolies or in the existence of natural monopolies, but by just saying monopolies, it kind of creates a home for any language that we may want to include around that. So maybe we should look at specific sentences and see if we want to move them. Like, the first sentence could go in 2.4 for business and state. Yeah.
Or it could go in the intro to the section.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess before you start moving to 2.4, we really need to decide if that's financial markets or just generally markets.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a major question before you move.
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. I think it has to be financial markets, whether we state it that way or not. But like Brian said, markets covers virtually everything in the entire, you know, economic sphere.
Yeah, I think the focus in 2.4 should be financial.
Yeah, and if we go back to... let's see.
Could we change the title to financial markets? I mean, if we're going to really make it that sort of specific, if you don't make it specific in the title, it's a source of confusion.
Yeah, I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, we're gonna take a second look at all the titles later, but I think me making a note to add that financial in there will really clarify the purpose of that a lot better.
Also, keep in mind that 2.4 used to be longer until we took out that sentence about insider trading. And if we do go back in the remix and try to craft a sentence on insider trading, that will, you know, both lengthen it and will, you know, magnify its character as being about, you know, Wall Street and financial markets.
Okay, so if we do that, then that leaves us with the question of where do we move the things out of 2.5 if we don't want to mix them with the rest of it. And we don't really have a place to move them except maybe to the section intro, which is already long.
Right. And if we did, I remember we talked about there was a candidate sentence, I think, for 2.5 about antitrust, but we decided it was very poorly worded. But if we tried to write a good sentence on antitrust, that would make 2.5 even bigger. So maybe the thing to do is, if we're not averse to multiplying these economic planks, what would be a natural split to make 2.5 into two planks?
To take out the part about labor and unions and so forth and make a separate plank, that would be one natural split.
Mm-hmm.
So a plank that's devoted to like labor markets, where maybe we could talk about minimum wages and stuff, which we haven't mentioned here, it occurs to me.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, we could just have a, you know, labor and unions, or labor even, labor markets.
Well,
blank.
I'm not sure I'm on board with the idea that we necessarily have to have coverage of every conceivable aspect of society. I'd be inclined to cut scope instead of add scope.
I'm with you on that one, Guy. I was hoping that we could, like keep education and healthcare together. I mean, I fundamentally I don't think it's too bad, but I think if, you know, it's a slippery slope of you know, adding planks and multiplying planks.
Yeah, but let's keep in mind that all of these planks are substantially shorter than the current.
That's true. That's
mm-hmm.
true.
So really all you're doing is you're, you know, breaking it up with very short planks. It helps the reader to understand. I think that's a good thing.
Okay, so one possible way to split this one, if we were interested in splitting it, would be to pull out just the issues about labor markets. That would include licensure, all the labor union stuff, anything we wanted to say about hiring, anything we wanted to say about minimum wages. That seems to me like a decent topic that could stand on its own.
Where, and so 2.5 would become what, competition and monopolies or something?
Well, it's describing it. It would basically be, you know, anything about antitrust, anything about utilities, anything about incorporation, anything about subsidies, anything about anything nasty we want to say about big business, that kind of stuff.
Right, so I'm just wondering what we would call that.
Plan. Yeah, did I hear you say a suggestion?
I said competition and monopolies.
That would be okay. Competition is kind of broad.
Business competition and monopolies.
From a constitutionalist perspective, one of the most abused phrases is the words regulate commerce.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there might be some benefit in having a plank that clarifies what regulate commerce should mean.
Yeah. Okay, maybe we should take this offline but it sounds like there's sentiment for splitting this plank with pulling out the labor-related stuff and then coming up with a title for the for what is left over.
Yes. this may be one of those things that it's hard to visualize in a teleconference what it would look like, and it might be easier once we see it in writing.
Yeah, and
if we just kind of agree, okay, we want to split this, and then maybe via email, you know, put together some proposals.
Right. Yeah. I think
good.
It's good to like compare and tweak language in a setting like this, but for us to try to write titles or new sentences or something could be tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Question. The sentence, "We seek the elimination of occupational licensure," is that something we could agree to delete?
I don't think we should delete it.
We do?
Yeah.
I'm okay with deleting it.
Important issue.
It's a fright factor in a way.
Yeah, going to the two questions that I always are going to ask are, does it help passage in Denver? Does it get us closer or further from two-thirds adoption? And the second question is, does it embarrass us? And I think keeping it would probably get us closer to adoption, and I think that the help of adoption, to me, outweighs the potential for fright or embarrassment. But I don't have a strong opinion on that.
You don't think it's suddenly a specific way in which government regulates business when we're being broad with the rest of it? I mean, if we're not going to itemize out necessarily
all the laws they
make.
One reason I would like to consider keeping it is there's been recently I've been hearing people make waves about there's various states that prevent inner city people from you need a beautician's license just to do things to people's hair.
Yeah.
And
hair braiding.
Americans have been doing entrepreneurial businesses where they just will braid people's hair or whatever, and all of a sudden now you need hundreds of hours of licensing training, and I think that's a good poster child for why licensure is usually a bad idea.
Well, okay, hold on. It's the absolutism of the sentence that makes me want it out. I mean, it's one thing for braiding hair; it's another thing for heart surgery.
Yeah.
Maybe in the remix we could fiddle with it a bit to tone down the absolutism.
Yeah, we could. It surely could be phrased in a way that would make the idea more palatable and better understood. So as long as we remember to try to address it in the remix, I could live with taking it out of this baseline.
I can see ways to rewrite it so it could be. It could go both ways, if we seek the elimination of burdensome occupational licensure. Well, what's burdensome? So it could be read multiple ways. I think remix could adjust it if it gets left in. I'm still okay with taking it out, but remix may be able to fix it.
Yeah, actually, perhaps the more clever word would be the elimination of unnecessary.
Good.
Well, that would be that would hang a bell. We probably could come up with an even more clever way because the radicals are going to say there's no such thing as necessary occupational licensure, and so I think we want to say roughly that, but in a vaguer way that leaves open the possibility of eliminating all.
Right. Yeah, right. I'm not thinking about the radical perspective. Yeah. I'm saying.
Okay, well, so...
Yeah, outside world.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking something to the effect that we say occupational licensure is used to protect monopoly guilds. This isn't the right word, but something like that, and it impacts poor and minorities unable to practice their... trade and it should be scaled back, or should be reduced and possibly eliminated or something like that.
Yeah.
But
okay,
again, I can't craft words off the top of my head like that.
I'll try to write it in the voice conference. But so is there a consensus for taking it out of this baseline and then offline, we can propose a better one for the remix.
Okay.
I would vote to take it out.
I would vote for that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
You talked me into it, Guy.
Well, one brownie point.
Okay, so now let's talk about Alicia's 1972 language about labor unions. So what we've got right now is we support the right to associate or not associate in labor unions. An employer should have the right to recognize or refuse to recognize a union.
Okay,
now, Alicia, can you read?
Yeah, we've got those two sentences at the end. I don't know that wouldn't just replace those two sentences with the text from the 72. If we fix the word men, you know, in the remix, whatever. But the 72, I'll just read those three sentences again. We support the right of free men to voluntarily associate in or to establish labor unions. We support the concept that an employer may recognize a union as the collective bargaining agent of some or all of his employees. We oppose governmental interference in bargaining. So it covers you have a right to get together and make a union. Employer has a right to recognize it or not, and government shouldn't oppose. I mean, it shouldn't interfere. So it kind of covers all the little aspects.
Well, it's much more toned down because, it's actually saying you support the concept that an employer may recognize a union, whereas the current language is more bracing for union people. May or may, may have the right to associate or not associate. So I prefer the 72 language.
It's smoother language.
It's actually, it's better written, even though it's longer.
Question. I know this union chief who says that his union is not able to discipline their own members because to do so would be putting the union leaders in violation of federal racketeering laws. And that's
the water was coming up.
Point of information.
I don't really have a strong preference between the baseline language and the 72 language. The one particular part that strikes me as a little limp is the "we support the concept" business. I mean, that could be fixed. And,
That's a style fix in remix.
Right, a style fix. May recognize the union as a collective agent of some or all of his employees. I don't really care. I think no one's going to try to interpret that as meaning that we don't support the concept of an employer recognizing the union as the agent of none of his employees. Because I think none is a special case of some. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you wouldn't recognize a union as for none of them. I mean, that's a...
Okay, any further discussion, or should we just try to decide and vote on that?
I'm for 72 language.
And that replaces which sentences again in here?
It would replace the last two sentences of the current 2.5. So it would just reword...
Yeah.
Those two sentences and add a sentence that says government shouldn't interfere in their bargaining.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I think that's important to say, too.
And it seems like that plank is heading toward a title of corporations and labor and striking monopolies and moving that elsewhere.
Yeah, I like the 72 language. Also, I like the idea of including more stuff in general from the 72 platform since we've lost some of this stuff that used to be coming from that platform, and this sort of broadens the base, so to speak, of the language of this mix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Guy, on the topic of splitting this, let's maybe offline we can come up with proposed splits and proposed titles for a split, and then we can discuss the merits or compare the particular proposals.
Yes, sir.
Good.
Okay.
Well, that took half our call on one plank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's.
Now it's two planks.
Yeah, and it could be three.
Yeah.
So then zooming forward, does that take us back to 3-1, Alicia? Or
I believe so.
Okay. And 3-1, I think we were just going to check in to see if there was any more discussion on 3-1 before proceeding to 3-2.
The only other note I've got about 3-1 is maybe think about it, repeating a sentence we've used elsewhere. We've got, if you look back at 1.5, the first, I mean, this is talking about personal individual self-defense, but the concept is the same for, you know, government defending the citizens of the country. And I thought about maybe using the first sentence or a variant of thereof from 1.5 to put in 3.1, although, I mean, the idea is already there in the first sentence. We support the maintenance of a sufficient military to defend us against aggression. But being that the military is the biggest organized force that exists, you know, might point out that the legitimate use of it is defense of these rights. I don't know. It would duplicate a little bit sentence 3.1, but...
My thought is to combine 1.5 and 3.1.
Well, there's certainly plenty of people who would say that, you know, Second Amendment kinds of issues are pretty much the right way to do national defense. I'm not really in total agreement with that idea, though.
No, I think they're not in most people's minds. Those are separate issues.
Okay.
I would leave them separate, although there are a lot of carryover ideas from one to the other.
Yeah, it's sort of an extension of the individual's rights sort of flows into the basis for government action.
Yeah, and that was kind of what made me think about maybe even just repeating the sentence if, you know, that's the idea there, it's the idea here also just on a bigger scale, but, you know, like I said, that idea is
What about the line that I found in the 76 platform? It said the principle of non-initiation of force should guide the relationship between governments. Well, actually, maybe the 72 language. Let me check. Do we actually use this 72 line that says a legitimate government must protect itself and its citizens against the initiation of force from other nations? Actually, I don't think that's in there.
I don't believe we discussed that line before.
Yeah, it's not in the baseline, I don't think. But
the word initiation is not in the baseline.
Okay. Maybe, I think maybe I've changed my mind since I sent that email, and now, you know, since Alicia brought up the topic of sort of drawing parallels between, you know, national defense and personal defense, that makes me kind of like this 72 line a little better, which again says, A legitimate government must protect itself and its citizens against the initiation of force from other nations. That kind of puts a stronger point on the first sentence of 3.1, which sort of says we support the maintenance of this military to defend us, but then we don't actually say that it should go ahead and defend us.
Yeah, it clarifies when you would do when you use the first sentence.
Right.
I see one problem with the sentence, though, and that's the part that says from other nations in light of 9/11, it's clear that the government should be protecting us not only from other nations but from other individuals.
Entities.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, and in another sense, it's too broad because if you strictly read it, you know, if you're on vacation in, you know, Thailand or somewhere or the deep jungles of Kampuchea and all of a sudden, you know, you're a citizen still. Do they have to send in the Delta Force to protect you? That would be sure to be a criticism that people would level at this line.
Right.
That idea, actually, I have as a note on 3.3, because there's sentence there about defending rights on American soil, which I thought there could be defenses of American citizens' rights outside U.S. soil in given situations. So that same criticism I have seen in 3.3.
Yeah, I think it would be tough to put in any language that sort of invited. It would be tough to get approval for language that sounded like it was trying to justify preemptive attacks on people. But I there may be ways that we can word it so that we're not strictly saying that the incoming missiles have to actually enter our airspace before we try to shoot them down and stuff. But well, maybe we should put our thinking caps on and try and cast around for language to include into 3.1 that could beef it up in a non-problematic way. I don't have any specific proposals to make now.
Yeah, I'm not certain that it's necessarily a function of the Department of Defense to defend a U.S. citizen if they're not on territory that's U.S. Territory. Like, if they're outside U.S. sovereignty, is it really the U.S. DOT's business to, stop things from happening to them, or is it their responsibility to make sure they only go to some place that's safe?
Yeah, I think one piece of language I was using in that draft Blue Sky Statement of Principles was saying protect people within the U.S. jurisdiction or something. Which is a little vaguer than U.S. soil.
Yeah, soil doesn't even cover water.
Yeah, exactly. Soil, airspace, U.S. ships. Well, maybe U.S. soil is a term of art. I'm not sure how that works.
I think it is.
Okay. Well, I think. How about if we try and keep the voice conference focused on comparing specific language proposals that are on the table, and maybe let's all note this issue and try and go find or create language that can address it, and maybe we should go and look at what Henry has proposed for 3.2.
Okay.
Does everyone have a copy of it?
Yes.
I like it.
3.0, the one the internal security and the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, I think we renamed it to individual rights, and then we mentioned the Bill of Rights inside it.
Is that the same as what's on Brian's website?
Right.
Under greatest hits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's in.
So maybe we, if there's no objections to it, then maybe we can just ratify it. I think Henry sold me on it. I think he sold Bob on it. I haven't heard any specific objections to it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Could you recap one more time?
I was just saying that when Henry initially proposed this before we started doing these phone conferences, he sold me on the idea, and I think Bob agreed to it. And
I'm sorry. On what idea?
Oh, on this 3.2 plank, including this. And then Alicia, I think, had the idea that we could it then became the home for the final sentence that in it now, that sentence used to be in a different spot, and we moved it, I think.
Yeah.
The one that
right.
says, we oppose the government's use of secret classifications.
Right.
Yeah, we moved that from, I believe it's the National Defense Plank.
Right. Okay, so then
to
so maybe
this
we
location.
Have...
My only, I'm generally okay with this plank, and this is probably a remix subject. My question is, what is meant by transparency in the next to last sentence? Intelligence agencies that legitimately seek to preserve the security of the nation must be subject to oversight and transparency. If I were reading it, I would want to know exactly how far that goes. Because there are some things, if we're talking about, intelligence gathering for defense, may not necessarily need to be so transparent. But there's lots of caveats involved there.
Yeah, if we weren't involved in so many covert operations and aggressions, then we wouldn't have such need for covert secret agreements, you know.
Yeah, in the remix, if it just stopped at oversight, it would probably be better.
Yeah. I like the word and transparency.
Yeah,
transparency, I mean, that's the whole thing. They like
secrecy. Popular buzzword these days. And the nice thing, I think vagueness here and in a lot of these platform contexts is not exactly a bad thing. I think that I'm kind of looking for language that you know, our most radical libertarians can read it, you know, as implying either, you know, going further in a direction, but you know, we less radical libertarians can read it as the same direction, but not quite so far, and yet people who are not libertarians can, when they hear about it, it can sort of resonate with, you know, with whatever nascent libertarian feelings they have.
Well, yes, or at least they don't. It doesn't discredit us.
Right.
I like this plank.
I'm for adding it to the baseline.
Okay. We can always, if you know, tweak it in the remix, or if people have particular words that could be chopped out cleanly in the baseline, we can always come up with those ideas. All right, so we've still got 10 minutes, so let's look at 3.3 and talk about soil. And also, oh, that's interesting, unrestricted trade and travel is, well, it's kind of getting close to immigration, but it's not really travel.
Yeah, those are the two notes I have on this, are the on American soil and the word unrestricted from trade and travel, because, I mean, we got the same issue with the immigration. And travel has the same potential problems as immigration, but it's not the same subject. But, I mean, we don't want disease and, you know, if criminals are going on trial the next day, they shouldn't be able to up and leave the country. You know, incoming terror threats, those sorts of things. So that word unrestricted, I would want to be modified.
Oh,
and then,
definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, we could even take it out of the baseline because, you know, deleting words is not a problem in the baseline. Adding words is a problem.
Yeah, that in terms of unrestricted trade, I definitely don't have much problem with the idea of unrestricted trade. And unrestricted travel, I definitely am not a, you know, total open borders kind of person. I could live with, you know, this by rationalizing to myself as saying, well, we're talking about, I don't know, tourism or you know, not so much, you know, migration where people transplant themselves, but rather just, you know, Fidel Castro can come and speak at the UN anytime we say unrestricted, we have to be careful. But when combined with the word travel, I don't get too worried about it. But I guess you and Bob do, huh?
Well, no. I mean, it's just, the term would probably be migration or something like that. Travel is a temporary phenomenon.
Right.
But even then, you know, if you know, Al-Qaeda members, this, you read this, it means Al-Qaeda members can come to the United States anytime they want.
Oh, yeah, and then we can arrest them.
Huh?
And then we can arrest them.
Right.
I agree. Maybe, so the work that this sentence seems to be doing in the baseline is speaking out for free trade. Maybe the thing to do is just to drop the and travel.
Yeah, or else find a different sentence
or
from
find
some other
sentence,
place,
right, yeah,
that deals with free trade.
Yeah, I personally would like to just delete that sentence. You know, there, I'm actually, you know, for some government functions, and I think that you have to be able to raise some money somewhere. And tariffs are one place in the Constitution where, you know, I mean, those are lawful taxes. And when you say unrestricted trade, that basically says eliminate tariffs. and I'm not sure that's necessarily.
That's a good point. There's us constitutionalists don't rule out necessarily tariffs, and Harry Brown has talked about using tariffs to finance things, and so does Ron Paul. So I'm very sympathetic to that argument for even the unrestricted trade part.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say that I like the government jacking the, the tariffs around, because I do that specifically to whip people and to reward their friends. So I think you need to limit their ability to jack the tariff rates around. It's like you need low tariffs, but constant tariffs, if you're going to use that as a means to raise the little bit of revenue we need for legitimate government. So there's reasons to limit government's flexibility on what they can do there, but I would personally just delete that sentence.
So I would agree with that. I would propose that we delete that sentence and that we go back and look for better language to use to talk about free trade.
Yeah, I hate to see no mention of free trade in the whole platform.
Yeah, it definitely has to be mentioned in the final thing, and there's got to be something we can use somewhere that talks about it. I hope this wasn't the best I could find.
Yeah, the new plank, I think when we split 2.5 off, we're going to have some free market stuff there probably. This is international affairs, and I don't know that free trade is necessarily the right place to put that.
Yeah, no, I think it's more economic than it is securing liberty.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, it's just because it's dealing with behavior that crosses the border, that doesn't really make it about security. Okay, so how about if we take it out of here and look for a sentence that, depending on what it says, could be added. Not necessarily here, but somewhere for free trade. I guess it would be incumbent upon people like me and Henry who absolutely want to see something about free trade to go look for such a sentence.
On 2.5, when I start looking at, regulate commerce and what to do with that split for monopoly and whatnot, I'll be looking for free trade as well.
Okay. Okay, I don't hear any objection to that idea. So let's drop that sentence and make a note that we're going to look for a better free trade sentence. We should also, I guess, make a note that the American soil part deserves a hard look. Alicia, do you think there's any prospect of finding a better sentence, at least for the baseline, than this one?
Well,
we could just take that off the end of the sentence,
Well, I'd like to speak in favor of on American soil, because I question whether it's really the business of the Department of Defense to go wandering around the whole world looking for Americans that have, had their rights violated in other countries when they're subject to the sovereignty of that other country. The DOT has priorities. The first priority is defending U.S. citizens on U.S. soil. I do agree that a second priority that's okay is to defend Americans in foreign lands, and even a third priority might be to defend friendly allies, but those are lower priorities. And my problem is that, often those low priority missions for the DOT are put as a higher precedent than what should be the highest precedent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... I think keeping it, I agree, goes a little too far in one direction. I think dropping it goes much too far in the other direction, and it would be a total bullseye for the anti-interventionist majority, the LP. They would shoot down such a plank, I think, in a heartbeat. If we didn't have some way of at least restricting the global reach of this guarantee against attack.
Yeah, I don't quite understand what the objection is in the first place.
You mean the objection to deleting it?
No, the objection to having it.
To having it. Scenarios I envision, we can talk about whether or not soil would cover water and air, but, that may just be a figure of speech.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say
we're
we know
okay,
that Al-Qaeda,
next week we find out some of our soldiers are left in Vietnam or in prison camps. We're not there at war anymore, but, you know, it's American citizens imprisoned over there, or, you know, some other foreign government kidnaps U.S. citizens, you know, to what degree? I mean, I agree that citizens, when they travel, need to make themselves familiar with the laws of the area and, you know, not get caned in Singapore because of your own stupidity and violating their laws. But if it's, you know, foreign governments kidnapping our citizens when they travel, we don't need to, you know, just do nothing and let it happen.
Right, right. We shouldn't give a green light to any organization or institution to say that any American, when they leave American soil, you know, they...
Have at them.
Yeah, target.
Well, I don't think that that's the case, really. I mean, there are certainly parts of the world where you wouldn't want to go because of that danger. But, you know, I think you have to assume that responsibility when you leave the jurisdiction of the United States government, that you are putting yourself at a certain degree of risk, depending on where it is you choose to go.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I'm sympathetic to that. I would want to see if we could find a way to leave some wiggle room so that if there were an institution or organization that were systematically, you know, sinking American ships at the 12-mile line or shooting American planes as soon as they, you know, flew out of our airspace or shot Americans as soon as they stepped off of planes and stuff, that we'd have some recourse.
Yeah, but this sentence does allow for, there is wiggle room anyway. It doesn't say only American soil.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true.
Not an absolute sentence as it stands. So. Mm. It should be focused, certainly.
I see,
okay,
it could be read that way. Would it do harm to the point of the sentence if we just took off on American soil, so it just said, defend them against attack from abroad of the lives, liberty, and property of the American people? I mean, would the absence of that phrase make people say, wait a minute, it goes too far? I mean,
that may be
what Brian was saying.
No, I'd have a problem with that, because that would mean that if we had an oil drill in our Tajikistan, we'd have to be sending the Marines in if a U.S., you know, Exxon on one of Tajikistan.
Sort of reminds me of the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company in Iran in 1950.
Yeah.
You know, that's property of, you know, it was British back then, but if it was, you know, Exxon Mobil's property in Venezuela, should we send in Marines to protect that?
Okay, it's 6:30, so how about if we just vote on whether to keep the un-American soil? I'm with Guy that we should keep it.
I agree.
Keep it.
I would keep it. At least until we have time to think it through and find an alternate or something.
We might be able to hopefully come up with something a little better in the remix. The only specific idea that I see on the horizon is to say jurisdiction instead of soil, but that may actually not really be much of a change if we take soil to be a term of art.
Right.
Your territory.
Yeah.
True.
Okay, so let me summarize. I think I noted the decisions we made. So we resolved that we're going to split 2-5, perhaps along the lines of a labor, pulling out the labor-related stuff. We're going to drop the sentence about licensure and try to write a better sentence for the remix. We're replacing the two lines about labor unions with the three lines that Alicia found in the 72 platform. And we're dropping from the baseline the line about unrestricted trade and travel. And we're resolving to hopefully find a better line to take its place in the baseline and or improve it in the remix. Did I miss anything?
That matches what I've got. The only other note I have, we might go ahead and stick the word financial in the title of 2-4 just to help us remember the distinction there. I mean,
like
we may revisit titles later, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
is there any objection to that? Can we just decide that?
Let's vote.
Pending a review of all the titles, but I think for now, to help us understand the 2-4 idea?
I'm for that.
Okay.
I'm for it.
Four.
Okay. So we'll send, I'll send out the diff, and then we can find a time for our next call.
Okay. I just want to mention that I did have a couple sentences I wanted to add to 3.3.
Okay.
And maybe we could discuss that the next time.
Sure. We'll start with those.
I would suggest if you have them, it's good to have them, you know, written down.
Yeah, so I did send them out in my omnibus email on all the changes I wanted, but I could resend those too.
Oh,
useful.
That's cool. Yeah, maybe what we should do is before such a conference call to resend any such pending proposals that haven't yet been talked about.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd be glad
Great.
To do that.
Okay. Another good call. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank
you all.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.